Through our service of worship, I invite you to hear now the reading of Scripture that comes to us from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." The word of God for us, the people of God. Today we continue a new sermon series entitled, It's Your Move. We pick up where we left off Easter morning. The disciples have had their final meal with Jesus in the upper room. They were out in the garden with him when he was arrested, and then they ran. Except for Peter, he remained behind and lingered and watched the beginning of this trial until someone noticed him, and then he denied Jesus three times. The resurrection happened, and the disciples were confused that the grave was empty. It was actually Mary Magdalene, the apostle to the apostles, who came and said to them first that she had seen Jesus, she had spoken to Jesus. And now the disciples are gathered together in a room with locked doors and closed windows and fear, wondering what's going to happen next, confused as to what's going on, when Jesus himself appears in their midst. And I think to myself, what does he say first? The first words of Jesus to his disciples, to the very ones who left him, who ran in his darkest hour, to the very ones who had devoted themselves, who had expressed their loyalty to him just hours before he was captured. What are his first words? And he says, "Peace be with you." It's exactly what they needed to hear. Out of all the things that Jesus could have said, "Why did you leave me? Shame on you." But no, he says, "Peace be with you." And then he does something interesting. He shows them his hands and his side. And I've always wondered, why did he do that? Why show his hands and his side? Why is that significant? And I suggest to you that maybe part of the reason is this. It confirms for the disciples that this one who is now appearing in their midst is in fact the one that they had walked the dusty roads of Galilee with. This is Jesus. This is the one who proclaimed the kingdom of God. This is the one who they witnessed forgive sins. This is the one that they saw heal those who were sick. This is Jesus. This is the one whom they know. And this is the one who now stands before them and says, "Peace be with you." I think how important it would be for them to see and to know this Jesus whom they had walked so many miles with and loved. It's interesting as I think about the significance of recognizing Jesus, of knowing that it is him. I think years ago, as I was preparing to go to seminary, actually, I had spent quite a bit of time studying different schools. I wanted to make sure I was going to the right place, and I finally settled on the Divinity School at Duke University. And once I did, I had a narrower level of professors to look at. I wanted to know what they were going to be talking about and teaching, and so I started to order their books and read them. And one professor in particular, Stanley Hauerwas, he was the professor of ethics. Very interesting man. His father was a bricklayer, and he learned a great deal about the meaning of words and actions in the bricklaying community, and that began to impact his thinking about ethics and the learning of the Christian life. But he wrote in a very unique way, and I remember reading his work, and some of it I could understand, and some of it could not. And there are certain things that he would say in his writings. He would say, you know, on the very first day, the very first semester of my class on ethics, I say this. And then later on, he would say, well, I talk about this later on. And so I have to admit, I was interested. On the very first day of his very first semester of ethics that I took, was he going to say these things? And so it was that first class, I remember, I was so interested. I could not wait to get in there and to hear him. And what was interesting is he speaks the same way he writes, which meant that some of it I could understand and some of it I could not. But there was an interesting point near the very end of his lecture that he said that exact sentence that he wrote about. And it was that moment where I'm like, this is the man. This is the guy I've spent all these hours reading his work. This is him. And I think about as we read the Gospels, we have four portraits of Christ. Four portraits of the living, risen Christ, of his ministry here on earth, of all the time that he shared God's overwhelming grace and love, all the teachings that he gave. And I suspect, I submit to you, that the more we get to know this Jesus, the more we learn his words and his actions, that the day that we see Jesus face to face, we will say, I know that man. This is him. This is the Savior. How important that is to know the one who has redeemed us, the one who came for us. How important it is to know that his teaching of love and forgiveness and peace is true to who he is, not only in his earthly ministry, but now as the risen, living Lord. And of course, it's interesting because Jesus has only just begun. In his conversation with the disciples, their heads are swimming, but he's only just gotten started. Because not only does he say, peace be with you, and show them his hands and his side, but again, he says to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. The first word of that sentence, as, is a loaded word. It can be translated as, just as, or in the same manner as. Meaning, in the same manner that Christ came to reveal the Father. Throughout his ministry, he would say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We now know who God is. We know the character of God. It says in Scripture that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We know God's nature and his love. If we have seen Jesus, we know the Father. But then Jesus says, in the same manner as the Father sending me, so now I am sending you. We are now called to be disciples witnessing to Jesus. In our lives, in our manner, in our nature, in our words, in our actions. I have to admit, what a weighty thing to think. It's a weighty proposition to consider, the call, the commission upon our lives. I think about a couple of weeks ago, I was in the grocery store, and I was getting some groceries, and there's an app on my phone. I get all the groceries, and as I put something in the cart, I just click it on my app, and I know that I've gotten it. And what's interesting is my wife has the same app on her phone. So she can load things in real time. So I get out to the checkout, I double check the list to make sure I've got everything, and boop, five more things appear on the list. Well, one day I was near the end of the list, and I was clicking off one of the last things, and one of you walked up to me and you said, Pastor, do you pray all the time? Now I admit that's a loaded question for a pastor. And so I said, well, I try to. And you said, you look so peaceful. Well, after the conversation, I was like, whew. I'm glad in that moment I was looking peaceful. I don't know if I always look so peaceful when I'm shopping for groceries. In fact, I remembered that conversation last week Holy Week of all weeks. I was in the store. I had to get a few items. I had to get here to the church. I had no time. And so I'm racing through the aisles, and I get an item, and I put it in the cart, and I look to the end of the aisle, and of course, there's a traffic jam down there. There's literally four carts, four people. I don't know how long it takes to look at peanut butter, but there's a lot going on down there. And so I decided, that's all right, I'm just going to turn around, go down the other way, come back the other aisle. And I turned around, and lo and behold, there was a group of people congregating at the other end of the aisle. And so now I'm stuck. And of course, I keep thinking about, I got to get to the church, I've got to get going, I've got things to do. And I'm standing there, and suddenly that question came to my mind again. Do you pray all the time? And I thought, I definitely need to pray. But I think about some of the silly things that we encounter, some of the silly trials that we have of just being in a grocery store. But then there are other trials, there are other challenges that we face that are trying, challenging for us. And as we think through what it means to live life, to be disciples, to be witnesses in the same manner as Christ, I submit to you, we begin to understand the importance of what Jesus says next. He breathes on the disciples and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, when we go back in the Gospel of John, we start looking at the places where Jesus says to the disciples, peace be with you. Like in chapter 14, right before he says that, he says, it is good for you that I go to the Father, because then the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will be sent to you. Peace be with you. My peace I leave you. I do not give as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Again, there's that close tie between the Holy Spirit coming and the peace that we may know, the shalom of God that we may experience. And so he gives this presence to the disciples. I find it interesting that when John writes this and he says Jesus breathed on them, he chose the exact word found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 of the Greek translation, where God breathes onto Adam and gives him a life spirit. Adam becomes a living person. And now at the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus is breathing upon the disciples the breath of new creation, the breath of salvation and redemption, the breath to make them new and whole. And this is what to enliven them. This is what is to empower them. This is what is to guide and lead them into the world to be like Christ, to share his light, his love, his hope in the world. And we're going to need that Spirit, because the last thing Jesus says in this passage this morning, he says, if you forgive someone, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive someone, they are not forgiven. That is an even weightier proposition. But to understand all the resonances of what John is saying, we need to realize throughout his entire gospel, from the very beginning, he says, who is Jesus? Jesus, John calls, as the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. It is because of Christ Jesus, who loves us enough that he went to the cross for us and on our behalf, to take upon himself the sin and death, our sin in death, that we may have new life. We think of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John, who it is said convicts the world of its sin. And now, as disciples who are called to witness to what Jesus has done, as those who are called to walk in the ways of the Holy Spirit, as that Holy Spirit works in us, we are now called to put into place, to implement all that God has achieved. We are called to be a people to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ has offered forgiveness for new life. For if people do not hear, how will they know? And we must go to all the world to share that good news of God's forgiveness. It's interesting in this passage, right in between the commissioning of Christ, we have peace and we have forgiveness. This is central to the Gospel of John and to the Christian life. To go forth and be a people moved by the Holy Spirit, transformed from one degree of glory to the next into the likeness of Christ, to the glory of the Father. To be a people to share God's light, God's love, God's peace, and God's forgiveness in this world. To share the kingdom of God that God has proclaimed through Christ Jesus. What a glorious, what a beautiful, what a challenging commission. And yet it is ours to accept. And so it is this day, this Sunday after Easter. It's your move. Are you willing to say yes to all that God has done for you? Are you willing to say yes to His commissioning upon your life? All throughout the month of May, we're going to have opportunities here at the church to have hands-on mission, to work together to find ways of sharing God's light, God's love, God's hope in this world. Because it is a beautiful and challenging and amazing thing that God has called us to. For He has redeemed the world, and He invites you and me to enter into that mission, to share His redemption across the world. My great hope for you this day is that you will say yes to this call of Jesus upon your life. That you say yes to allow that kingdom of forgiveness and peace alive in your heart, that you may also share it in this world. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this amazing love that you have revealed and poured out for us in Christ Jesus, who took upon himself all of our sin and death that we may receive his love and his life. Lord, cleanse our hearts with the power of your Holy Spirit. Make us new, that we may shine your light and your love in this world that so desperately needs to hear and see it. And so it is the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.